Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us gathered here. We ask that you shine the light of your love on your word this morning. Use this passage and this sermon so that we might fully comprehend your will for our lives. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. Our scripture this morning comes from Acts, the 16th chapter, the 9th through the 15th verses. Hear now the word of God. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Samothrace, and the next day on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city in the district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Surprise, surprise, surprise. I was going to say that like Gomer Pyle, but that would really sound age me considerably. It really would, but anyway, does the Bible ever surprise you? Are you ever surprised anymore? Sometimes you hear something, and I have gotten to the age where I'm pretty cynical, and I'm saying, well, the person who did it, that surprises me, but it doesn't surprise me. Are you ever at the point where you're just not surprised anymore? Long time ago, in a galaxy far away, there in Thompson, Georgia, starting in the fall, all these women started having babies. And it continued for basically a year. And after that year, in my little hometown church, we had 20 babies in the nursery. We had two sets of twins. One lady who had twins did not know it. The doctor didn't know it till the baby started coming out. There was a lot of babies. There was a lot of people surprised. This class was so big, they had to separate that age group into two classes. Fast forward to May of 1980. Mother's Day is coming. Many of those people had never experienced Mother's Day. There were husbands who had never experienced Mother's Day where their wife was a mother. And a friend of mine, who should have known better, thought about it, had the correct motivation. Everything was great. He bought the perfect gift, he thought. He wrapped it. He placed it in the car. They came to Atlanta to spend the weekend with his in-laws, his wife's parents. On Sunday morning, they get up and they go to Oak Grove, where his wife grew up, and they enjoyed a wonderful and beautiful worship service. They went to eat at a nice restaurant. They get back to the house, and he gives his wife his gift. He had thought about it. He prayed about it. He knew it was going to be the perfect gift. And she opened it up, and it was a Thighmaster. She started crying and left the room. His mother-in-law started crying and left the room. That goes down as the worst Mother's Day gift I have ever heard. About 11 years later, my wife and I, we had built a home. We had a lot of porches. We had some sidewalks and all this, and it was no easy way to get dirt and leaves and stuff off of any of that. So I had this bright idea to buy a useful gift for my wife's Mother's Day present. And so I bought her a gas-powered blower. That goes down as the second dumbest Mother's Day gift you could give somebody. A month later is Father's Day. And my wife got me the most useful thing I've ever received. She bought me a dress. I was surprised, needless to say it. And she then wore it to church on Father's Day. We still use the blower, but not the dress. Fast forward about 20 years, and I'm in Augusta, and I learned by then, darling, what do you want for Mother's Day? And she said, I would like a battery-powered blower. Little did I know I was a man who was decades ahead of his time. We all are surprised, aren't we, in life? We're surprised all the time. And we start thinking about our scripture today, and I thought, I wonder how surprised Paul was. Every time he turned around, God was surprising him. He thinks he's going to Damascus to persecute Christians, and he ends up blind and accepting Christ. He goes on a missionary journey. He doesn't know what he's going to expect, and he's pretty successful with Barnabas. And then he's surprised at that. He wants to go on the second missionary journey, like we talked about last week. He thinks it's going to be a great idea, and everything's going to be great. And he's surprised when Barnabas says, I want John Mark to go with me, us. And Barnabas is surprised when Paul says no. And they're both surprised that they both go their separate ways, and they both have successful trips. Paul, who had given up on John Mark, was probably surprised once he learned, and as later we hear, read in one of his letters, how much help John Mark was. I wonder if he didn't think that years before. So Paul and Silas go to Asia Minor. They're there. They're having good success. They're trying to figure. Everything is telling them to go to Asia. Go to Asia. That's what's happening. They've got Silas with them. They've got Timothy with them. Luke is with them now. You need to go that way. And I bet you they were surprised when they figured out the Holy Spirit. Spirit of Christ is not going to let them go to Asia. I wonder how disappointed they were. In my first year of ministry, I was a local pastor. I had to go to this meeting where they were going to give me credentials to continue to be a local pastor, to make sure I was okay, I was doing my job, I was doing my educational requirements, all those things. Come out of the meeting, and I'm there at my home church, and there is the associate pastor, and he calls me over, and he says, I was just thinking about it. This would be a great idea. You know, what you need to do is, I'm leaving this year in June. I've been appointed somewhere else. You need to come to Thompson and be the associate pastor. You know, when you were here, you were doing so much of what an associate pastor would do. So when everybody knows you, you know, and I thought, well, that might be pretty good. The senior pastor walks up, and he tells him his idea. He said, well, you know, that's a pretty good idea. And he said, what do you think about it? I said, well, I don't know. What do you think? And he said, well, I'll talk to the DS. So he calls Jane Brooks. I'm trying to talk a little faster. I hope you can listen quick. He calls Jane Brooks. Jane Brooks says, let me run it up the flagpole, called Bishop Davis, but it sounds okay to me. So then it gets to Bishop Davis. He says, okay, they want to have a meeting with me. So I have a luncheon meeting with the church's lay leader, the staff parish relations committee chair, and the finance chair at a restaurant. They interview me. They already knew me, that we talk, and everything felt good. And they said, have you told your employer yet? My employer at the time were members of the church. They were leaders of the church and had been leaders for a long time. And I said, no, they don't know that we're having this conversation, but I will have that conversation when I get back to work. So I get back to work and I get the brothers together. We go in the older brother's office and we sit down and we start talking. And I thought that it would go well. And I was surprised to find out it wasn't going to go well. One of those brothers felt betrayed by me. He felt betrayed by the leadership of the church. He was angry. And he told me he was angry. He didn't have to tell me he was angry. I could tell he was angry. And when we got through, I asked for the rest of the day off. And after thinking about it, calling my wife, I realized that that wasn't going to happen. I was not going to be going there as an associate pastor, even though I felt like we had prayed through it. I thought everything, all the stars were lining up, everything was making, and it felt like God's will that we would go there as an associate pastor. I called the preacher and said, "This isn't going to work." He said, "No, I know it's not." I had a phone call. There was disappointment. But I went, the church where I was serving didn't know any different. And so I go back and I keep doing what I'm doing. Stay there 6 years and the church is growing a little. And I bring up the idea of going full time and they embrace it. I go to seminary. They embrace it. I graduate from seminary. They embrace it. They embrace me going through the commissioning process and the ordination process. And I stayed there 12 years and was ordained. And then the bishop decided I was going somewhere else. And I went to St. Mark for 5 years. And I know that if I'd have gone to Thompson instead of staying at Philadelphia, I would not have experienced the things I needed to experience in my ministry. They loved me. They taught me. They did all the things they were supposed to do. And God was present there. And it was only about a year or two into that process that I realized that I was really trying to hijack God's will for myself. And how blessed I was that I did not do what I wanted to do initially. And now that it's 24 years later, I am so much happier, because if I had done what I thought God wanted me to do, I'd have never met y'all. It's amazing. Sometimes it's that song of Garth Brooks, "Thank God for Unanswered Prayers." There is surprise that God wants us to experience in our life. Truly does. And Paul experienced them everywhere he goes. It's interesting to me, he has a vision of a man from Macedonia, says, "Come to Macedonia." And so they make their way to Macedonia. They go to the place, the main hub of Macedonia, which is Philippi, which is a Roman colony. It's a little different than other cities. And they do what they normally do. They go to the river, which is not what they normally do on the Sabbath. They go to the synagogue. And when they show up, only people there are women. Women. I'm guessing when the guys show up there, where are the guys? Where are the men of this place? You know, we really need men because, you know, men are the only people. And somebody had to say, who was surprised, "I think we need to share the good news of Jesus Christ with these ladies." Do you think they were surprised? That was a different world. And Paul shared the good news of Jesus Christ, not to a Jewish lady, but to a Gentile lady, a lady who was well known because of her, she was a leader. She was a merchant, which is strange in itself in that time, but she was a merchant of fine fabrics, purple fabrics. That's the way she was known in the community. She hears the good news, and this Gentile God-fearer accepts the message, goes and gets her family, and they are all baptized. And then she says to them, the men, Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke, "Y'all need to come home with me." You see, it was a man from Macedonia who invited them to Macedonia, and they never saw him. But it was a woman who invited them home. I bet you they were surprised. Because it was contrary to everything that they would have known up to that point. A man is invited us. We're going to hunt for a man who would invite us and welcome us in. And it was a woman. And then she says the question. She asked them, and it sounds like the question, they might have questioned her belief. If you believe I am a child, that I've been saved by the Lord, you need to come home with me. And they went. And so it always comes back to, when was the last time God surprised you? When was the last time God surprised you in your relationship with Him, in your daily walk? I started thinking, when was the last time? There are some small things. When was the last time? And then that hit me. We worship a God who is infinite, and we're finite. And if God, who we worship, is not infinite, God is infinite, you should be surprised by God every single day. Because God works in ways we cannot conceive, and we need to be about paying attention to where God is at work and how He's working in the lives of everyone, and we need to be a part of that. And we should be looking for ways to be surprised by God. Shouldn't we? I mean, really, every time you turn the page in the New Testament, somebody's being surprised by God, especially in the Acts of the Apostles. That book is so filled with, it's not really the Acts of the Apostles, it's the Acts of Apostles through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because they wouldn't do anything without the Holy Spirit. And it just makes me wonder, when was the last time we've been challenged in our thoughts and how we are to love when we worship a God who loves infinitely different than we do? It's more gracious, more merciful, all of those things. In Isaiah, we see this vision that Isaiah has in the temple. God is high and lifted up. And there are these six-winged seraphs. With two wings, they cover their eyes, two wings, they cover their feet, and two wings, they're flying, and they're crying out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." What they are saying is that God is not just holy, God is not just holy, holy, God is infinitely holy, separate, other than what we're accustomed to. So whatever attribute we want to give God about being sovereign or being omniscient or all of those things, loving or gracious or merciful and all those, He is infinitely greater than we can imagine. And because of that, He should surprise us every single day. And if we want to walk with God, that means we're going to need to walk in places we have not walked before, because we need to be able to be willing to be surprised at what God's doing in other people's lives. And there are people that look differently than us, people that need things, people that are striving and dying to be surprised by something. Aren't we? That's some of the reasons we go down these wild paths in our lives. Why we go astray is because we're looking for something that will surprise us. Think about all the times you've gone astray in your life, the things that we've strayed from, hoping that we will find something that will fix something that we desire. And yet God, in a relationship with Jesus Christ, will surprise you if we seek to be surprised, if we seek to be a surprise for other people. And I really truly believe when we as individuals and we as Sunday school classes and Bible studies and all those, all of us take more seriously how we want to be a surprise and be surprised by God, we will make a bigger difference, not only in this whole congregation, but in our community. Being willing to surprise people with the love and grace and mercy of God. For people to say, I don't know what's happening there, but I promise you'll be surprised. Because God wants to surprise us all. Surprise us with His love. May we all be surprised. May we be like Lydia. May we be like Paul. Be surprised. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.